Good afternoon, brethren. I'd like to welcome our guests that we have here this afternoon. Some of you have asked me today and last week how Melody is doing since we put out a prayer request in her behalf a couple weeks ago. I'd like to report that she's been doing okay. We haven't seen any marked improvement yet, but that certainly can come. And she hasn't been going downward. She did have one bad day this week and didn't need to stay home, but she's holding her own. Her current treatment will be completed this week, and we'll go back in for reevaluation. So wanted to give you that update, and thank you for your prayers. Many of you probably know that I enjoy playing the game of golf, and this afternoon I'd like to introduce my topic through a golf story. In the early 1970s, Jack Nicklaus was holding a golf tournament. It was a golf tournament that he had for a charity that he held close to his heart. And this news conference was being held in Birmingham, Alabama, and right kind of in the middle of the news conference, this elderly gentleman in the back kind of interrupted right in the middle, and he called out, Mr. Nicholas, and Jack didn't know what he was doing, but he stopped for a minute, and he said, yes, can I help you? He said, Mr. Nicholas, I would like to challenge you to a round of golf. And yet, you need to remember that at this time, Jack Nicklaus was the number one golfer in the world. So I'd like to challenge you to a round of golf. And he goes, if you beat me, I will be more than happy to donate $5,000 to your charity. Now, $5,000 today is not that much money, but 30 years ago, that was a substantial amount of money. He says, I'll donate $5,000 to charity. But he goes, if I win, I would ask you, out of your own pocket, to donate an additional $5,000 to the charity. And he says, you can choose any course here in Alabama. I just ask that you let me pick the day and the time. And Jack Nicklaus was obviously there to make money for his charity. He said, I'm the number one golf player in the world, and I'll just need to show this elderly gentleman that I am the number one golfer. So he accepted the challenge. He named the course. I think he named that the course where he was holding the tournament. And this man, his name was Jack Johnson. And Jack Johnson said to Jack Nicklaus, he said, great. He goes, I know you're only in town for a few days. So he goes, we'll play this Thursday night at midnight. You need to realize that Jack Johnson was a man who had tremendous vision. He had a lot of vision, but he didn't have any physical vision. Jack Johnson was blind. And so he figured if he was going to play Jack Nicklaus in a game of golf, he needed to make it a little bit fair. And so on that particular Thursday night, I believe there was absolutely no moon, and so there'd be no illumination. And actually, Jack Johnson was such a golfer that with the help of his caddy, he was still able to golf in the high 70s and low 80s for his golf scores. So this afternoon, the remaining time, I'd like to talk about vision. If you would turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 29, verse 18. This, for most of you, will be a verse that is very familiar. We're reading from the King James Version. In Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, happy is he. The Hebrew word that is used for perish in this verse is a word called para, P-A-R-A, a word very closely related to the golf term par, but has absolutely no relation. But the word para means to be exposed or to become uncovered. So when this challenge was issued, suddenly Jack Nicklaus realized that he would be golfing without vision. Jack Nicklaus relied upon physical vision to be able to be an effective golfer. And so when he figured out that he would be golfing without vision, he became exposed, and in essence, he had no defense. And so what happened on that day is that Jack Nicklaus got out his checkbook and wrote out a check for $5,000. But the same is true in our daily lives, both physically and spiritually. Without vision, when we lack vision, we have no foundation and we have no protection. Basically, we're rendered without defense, just like Jack was, but we don't have defense against our adversary, Satan. Satan doesn't care how he destroys this. He really doesn't. The only thing that he cares about is destroying each and every one of us. And if he can discourage each one of us to the point of having no vision, then he is well on his way to accomplishing his goal. In not having vision, we tend to lose sight of God, we lose sight of Jesus Christ, we can lose sight of the world tomorrow. In essence, we lose sight of everything in life that is truly important. This afternoon, brethren, I'd like to encourage you to make sure that you have a vision, if not, to capture a vision that is built upon the foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ, who truly is our defense in our lives. And if we can have that kind of vision, a vision that is built on a rock, then that kind of vision will carry us to the point where we truly want to be in the future, in the return of Jesus Christ, where we can reign with him for eternity. But as the verse says, without that type of vision, people perish, and there is no future. I'd like to also share with you another story. It didn't have quite as positive as an ending. It's about a small town in New England that was built near a river. And I wish I had my books, because this is a story I read some time ago, and this particular book is packed up. But there's a small town, and it was decided that a dam needed to be built on this river. And as a result of this dam being built, this town that was right next to the river was going to become underwater. The interesting thing is that when they made this decision, it was going to be quite some years before they even started the construction of the dam, and it was going to take many more years to even finish that construction. So they knew that it would be at least a 10 or 15 year process. And so what they did is they made a plan. There was a plateau that was just above the town, and there was a complete plan put in place to rebuild the town during the next 10 or 15 years. But an interesting thing happened. And that was, within 2 or 3 years, this little town that had existed for quite some time, I don't remember how long, but I know it was, I believe maybe 100 years or more. A town that had existed for a long time. Within 2 or 3 years, the town became totally desolate. And that's because the people in this town didn't have a vision. They lost hope, and they gave up, and they moved away. Without vision, people perish. Jack Johnson did not perish when he lost his vision. He lost his vision, I believe, when he was in his 60s. But he had a passion. He had a passion for golf, and he kept the vision, and he continued to play the game that he loved. Brethren, how is your vision? What is your vision for yourself? What is your vision for this congregation? You and I both know that there are so many distractions, so many trials that beset us, so many things happening in the world today, whether it's health problems, financial difficulties, marital problems, living in this world that's filled with violence and happiness, you name it, there are so many things that can get in the way of our hope and of our vision. All of these things Satan uses as devices and tools to discourage us, for us to give up our vision, and to quit, to give up on the hope that we should have, a hope that should carry us through each and every day. I've been talking about vision, but I think something that's so closely tied to vision is hope. Because to me, through having vision and carrying that vision and believing in that vision, I believe that that gives us the hope to get through the difficult trials in life. I'd like to have you turn to one of my favorite scriptures, not a single scripture, but it's in Isaiah 40. If you'll turn to Isaiah 40, verse 28. It talks about the hope that we should have, the hope that we should have through God and Jesus Christ. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. It reads, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youth, or even kids, grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. And notice what it says here in verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. What an encouraging verse that's written here, telling us if we have our hope and have our hope grounded in Jesus Christ, that God will strengthen us daily and we won't grow weary. I mean, that's so hard to do sometimes in the different trials that we face. This afternoon, I'd like to close in a verse that is very familiar to all of us. It's in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'd like to change one word, if you'll allow me the liberty in that. Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it says it's faith. But I'd like you to substitute the word vision, because I think vision helps our daily faith. It says vision, this is from the New International Version, vision is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Brethren, what about you and me? Are we sure about our hope, and are we certain of what we do not see? If a blind man such as Jack Johnson could have the vision to challenge the number one golf player to a game of golf and win, then what about you and I, through the strength of Jesus Christ and God's inspiration, what kind of vision can you and I have? I believe that we can have a vision that moves us through each and every day, that will help us guide and make godly decisions, one in which we can put on the mind of Christ, one in which we can rely upon Him as our rock and our defense. A vision that will help us to grow spiritually each day. And a vision in which we can see this congregation growing and reaching out to others. And I believe if each one of us can carry this vision, then God will be for us. And as the scripture says, who can be against us?